I'm Nidhi Razdan. For more than a month now, we have seen protests across India in big cities and small towns against the Citizenship Act and the National Register for Citizens, or the NRC. Some of these protests began violently, but most of them settled down into peaceful demonstrations. Some have been hijacked by the political opposition, but what has been remarkable about many of them has been the lack of a leader and the participation of women, of students, of ordinary people reading out the preamble to the Constitution, reminding those of us who've forgotten what India really stands for. The student protests have also become about speaking against the might of the Indian state, which has used brute force in recent weeks to suppress dissent, whether it was at Jamia, Aligarh Muslim University, and then, of course, JNU. The Prime Minister talks about India's democracy. Just yesterday, he said that the Indian way of conflict avoidance is not by brute force, but by the power of dialogue. But where is his dialogue with the students and the people who do not agree with his government? With the women of Shaheen Bagh, or with the thousands of others who have voiced their concerns about this new law? Instead, those protesting have been painted as urban Naxals or anti-nationals. The state has become so paranoid, in fact, that police, for instance, stopped students in Gujarat from flying kites the other day because they had anti-CAA slogans on them. They stopped people from wearing black from entering the Wankhede cricket stadium in Mumbai. The bigger question is that is the mighty Indian state afraid of dissent, and is our democracy in dissent? I'm going to open this up to our panel tonight, and I'm going to begin with a young student, Sargam Sharma. She's at the Delhi School of Economics and was protesting the other day after whatever happened on the campus in JNU. Sargam, your opening comments on the question we're asking tonight. You have a minute.
I'm a student of sociology, and the first sort of the primary reading that we do on nationalism is something called the imagined community, which says that people from different regions, of different opinions, different cultures, come together for certain common principles. And of course, there will be differences in how the vision of achieving that principles. And that is the basis of this imagined community. But we believe that in universities, we think that if this government was so sure in their claim of nationalism, then they wouldn't need to be so violent. And the fact that they are so violent against protesters, we think that there is a certain insecurity that this government has against dissent. And unless the government understands that there is no democracy, there are no common principles built without differences, then they will be this brutal with the protesters. And that is what is at stake today.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the next opening comment from Professor Ashutosh Varshney, Professor of Political Science at Brown University and also a columnist with the Indian Express here. Professor Varshney, your opening thoughts.
Let me, in my opening remarks, make two comparisons in response to your question. First of all, India, after the protests began, is freer than it was between May 23rd and when the protests began. There was virtually no protest after what happened in Parliament over Kashmir. There was virtually no protest when the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act was amended, etc. So one comparison here is with what's happened in the last 1 month. India is freer today. This is not to say that a state wanted India to be freer. No, it's the citizens that have wrested freedom through their protests from the state. This is not to say that the new breath of freedom or new wave of freedom that at least our young people are beginning to experience is anywhere close to how free India was, let's say, between 1991 to 2014.
Okay, so your 1 minute is up, Professor Varshney. That's a great opening statement. That's okay. a lot to think about when we come back to the debate. Siddharth Yadav is standing next to you. He's the Delhi State Secretary of the ABVP, which is the student wing of the RSS. Siddharth, your opening comments. You have a minute.
Nidhi, first of all, I would want to think about what dissent these days mean. Because when I read about dissent, it did not mean about burning down buses. It did not mean about pelting stones. It did not mean about beating up students who want to go for examination. It did not mean about stopping those opting for registrations. So dissent altogether, a lot of people have changed the definition of it. And that is why people can go down in universities. People like Arundhati Roy can go down in universities and idealize criminals and call for civil disobedience. People can come up and say up anything. People can sit down and protest without even knowing what the protest is about. So for me, dissent is not that. If I have to talk about crackdown, I don't know where it is happening, because crackdown did not happen when a leader came out and said the prime minister to be Katil. Crackdown is not happening when lakhs of people are being affected, but a protest is going down in Shaheen Bagh. Still, nothing's happening down there. Where's the crackdown? And this is coming from people who are forcing people to go on forced leaves. A Mumbai professor
went on forced leave. All right,
because
I'll come
he spoke
to that.
Against Rajiv Gandhi. Ratlam principal, school principal went on forced leave. So it's just hypocrisy, I feel.
Okay, you think that, okay, where is the crackdown? Dissent is not violence. I think generally many would agree that, you know, violence shouldn't be there. But we'll talk about what else dissent means. Safia Aslam Chaudhary is standing next to you. She is doing her master's in development studies at Ambedkar University, and she's been also at Shaheen Bagh, where those women have been protesting. Safia, your opening statement.
So I think dissent comes very natural when our democratic rights will be taken away or our identity will be questioned. And at Shaheen Bagh, I've been to Shaheen Bagh, to Jamia, to Jantar Mantar, all these protests. In Shaheen Bagh, in all other parts of the country as well, I'm not saying all of them, but yeah, most of them, very peaceful protest is going on. People are actually asking for their basic rights and answers from the government, right? So people are asking their questions and they want, what are they actually going up to? And they are, in a way, trying to secure their secularism and their democratic identity as well. So, but they are not getting answers from the government. They are not answered in a way. Rather, we have seen brutality against them by the police and by other administrators also. If they are commenting anything like that, then they get harsh remark from BJP. So this is, I don't think
okay,
so in a
all
way.
All right. Well, Vijay Jolly is from the BJP, and Mr. Jolly joins us on the program. Sir, your first thoughts on our question tonight. Is the state afraid of dissent in this
You
country?
See, the crackdown on dissent, which means the strict enforcement of rules against disagreement, and also the democracy in dissent, which of course means the system of government run by the elected representatives of the people is on slope or on attack or on decline, is not a right narrative of today's big fight on the issue against CAA or NRC or the fight against the Prime Minister or the BJP. Shaheen Bagh, peaceful protest going on for 34 days, is testing the patience of my government, the Delhi police, is all going peacefully every day, impeding upon 1 lakh vehicles going over to Noida. Also, there is no interruption by the police, and the Delhi police says we will use persuasion and not force. This is
all right,
called the democracy of Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
Okay.
In
so
the
you've
capital.
given the example of Shaheen Bagh as one where the state, as you said, its patience is being tested. Okay, let me take this back to Ashutosh Vashni from all the comments that you've heard today. What struck me was what Safia actually said, that no one is actually trying to talk to those who are protesting from the government side. Rather, they're talking at them. And is that something you think is just the way they are, the way they function, that there is no sort of empathy with people who disagree?
So let me respond to it by connecting also to what Vijay Jolly has said. I don't think, and I've written about this, I don't think India's electoral democracy is in doubt. Yeah, elections have taken place, they're quite free. The incumbent government has lost Maharashtra, has lost Jharkhand. So I don't think the vitality of electoral democracy is in doubt. The issue is that democracy is more than elections. Democracy is also about freedom of expression. Democracy is also about freedom of movement. Democracy is about also minority rights. It is, all modern democracies protect minorities. They do, right? So it's actually on the second plane where the behavior of the government is flawed and is to be faltered. Yes, we have many examples of previous prime ministers and previous governments talking to those who have been protesting, and I can give you many examples of that, there has to be a conversation proposed by the government to those who are at Shaheen Bagh or the students who've led that. That's part of democratic process. So there's no conversation with them, but there is a lot of dismissal of what they're doing.
Siddharth, you raised your hand there. See, I want to differentiate between what you talked about, dissent is not violence. I'm not talking about the people who torched buses or who vandalized public property, etc. Because I think there's a general consensus that that is not acceptable. But there are many more people who have held peaceful protests and continue to do so. And you had people like Ramchandra Guha being arrested for holding a placard about the Constitution. So why do you think, don't you think that, like, for instance, the Shaheen Bagh example is mentioned, that somebody should go and talk to them from the government and sit with them and say, okay, let me allay your concerns?
Definitely, Nidhi. I think conversations in democracy are very important. But what is more important to understand is the bigger picture which is behind all of this. If ABP JNU Karyakartas are being socially boycotted in the university for having a dissent against the left, I think that also counts for something. If a principal in Ratlam is sent to forced leave by the Congress government because he gives out some notebooks which have Savarkar's picture on that, I think it's a dissent.
Absolutely.
And I think that is called for.
Absolutely.
Students must be spoken to, and protesters must also be, conversations must be struck with all those people down there protesting. But I would also want to ask, sir, here, do students in your university go and stop registration, sir? Do students in your university go down and block examinations? And if they do, do you have a conversation with them? And what sort of conversation do you have with them?
Okay.
Because whenever, whatever is happening, what we are seeing as a face of a student protest is not actually one. When students say that we are protesting for a fee hike, and when they go down and start protesting against Article 370 or against the CAA, what is it? What sort of a dissent is it? And if it is at all...
But they have a right to protest against those
issues. If it is at all, nobody says that students can't raise national issues, you must go ahead. Don't use it as a mirage. Don't use a face of a student protest against it. I have my open views. I support CAA. I think that's my dissent. I think that's my right to do it.
So your
What's
problem
wrong?
Is with what exactly? That those who are protesting against this are affiliated to political parties?
Nidhi, my objection to it is when a violence in JNU happens for a continuous of more than 2 months, and after that fifth violence happens, people come up in Mumbai holding a Free Kashmir poster in solidarity of a violence in JNU. My objection is not only to the person holding that poster, my objection is also to the person, to thousands of people who keep quiet to it. My objection is in Shaheen Bagh, people are protesting against the CAA, they're using kids as a face, because if I see a young kid, an infant...
You do know that many of the women who have their children there have nowhere to leave them.
Definitely.
They have nowhere else to leave their kids. That's why their kids are there.
I would not put my kid to a stage saying, Jamia tere khoon se inqalab aayega. That kid doesn't even know 72, 12.
Safia, do you want to talk about what's happening at Shaheen Bagh? About what Siddharth is saying, Safia?
They do not know 2 into 4 is 8.
Let us speak.
Sir, there are all kind of people in protest. I'm not saying... There are different kind of people, different kind of ideology, right? So at Shaheen Bagh, all of the days I'm going there. And there are women sitting with their kids, 20 days babies, like 20 days babies they're sitting with, right? And it's so cold in Delhi, it's pouring yesterday. And I made this painting, street painting over there. There was no one patting my bag and giving me 500 rupees or 700 rupees, but rather a young boy came up to me with food and water. So this is not exactly what you're trying to say, what you're trying to portray.
You didn't answer me. I said when the boy was shouting that, my objection is not to the boy. Did you object it? A young kid comes up on a stage and says, Jamia tere khoon se inqalab aayega. Did you object to it? My objection is to all those people who keep silent to it.
What is police doing?
Because keeping silent is not right.
Aren't they harming students? What's happening in JNU? What's happening in AMU? Are they harming human
yes,
students?
Yes, in JNU, AVP Karyakartas
are
being
bleeding?
Up.
Aren't they
because
bleeding?
Dissent these days has
okay, violence.
Yeah.
Sargam wants to come in. Go ahead.
I'm in DU, ABVP is an everyday menace. I know BA students who have to carry pepper spray in their bags because they're so scared of being targeted by the ABVP. it happens every year, that in elections, it happened this year, that members of a certain organization that was against the ABVP, their hands are broken because they were putting up posters outside the Maurice Nagar police station. So, and now ABVP has put up hoardings all over DU. For where they got the money for that, nobody knows. Where they say that left attacks ABVP. So in DU, it's absolutely hypocritical that an ABVP person will say anything about violence.
Well, this is not a debate on the ABVP because I want to make this
bigger. These are serious allegations,
Parnidhi. I'll let you answer.
I am making that. And in JNU, when you say that they are being boycotted, they are being done this, or Shaheen Bagh, students are saying that, it's because there is a grave provocation against students, against children, against the people of Shaheen Bagh.
So
that they have
kid
to come out on the
street. So 3 year kid would come up and say,
Well, they are angry.
Who's teaching it to them?
Well, they were angry because the police entered Jamia library, and when JNU was attacked, they were on the gates.
I think Professor Vashni wants to say something, and I come to Mr. Jolly.
I would also want to respond to that.
You said a lot of things. You said ABVP has been harassed at JNU. Let's agree. You're right.
Thank you, sir.
Let's agree. However, the answer to that cannot be unleashing goons for 5 hours and 4 hours. The answer to that is rely on the law enforcement authorities to punish those who have engaged in such behavior. If you unleash for 5 hours, I was a student at JNU long ago. If you unleash for 5 hours or 4 hours or 3 hours, 100 or 80 or 60 or 30 or 50 armed people who go hit students, who go hit professors, and they end up with cracked skulls at the All India Institute, then that is not the right response. Whatever the provocation, the police have to be used.
So
rather than goons had to be used.
Workers who were in Ames Trauma Center.
Sorry?
You do not look at them. 11 of our ABVP members were admitted in Ames Trauma Center.
Why
on
Why are you... The point is not that they hit you, therefore you hit them, they ended
we
up
did
in,
not
in,
hit
in
them.
The All
they
India
hit
Institute.
Us and they hit
Your
us.
ABVP
this is the
people
entire story.
Why were goons unleashed for 4 hours with the cops outside the
JNU goons gate, were unleashed for 4 hours because they were unleashing for the four previous 4 days.
You need the
Aishi
police.
Ghosh were leading those goons.
I want to ask Mr. Jolly though. Just let's talk about Shaheen Bagh because you raised that example. The Home Minister went to Lajpat Nagar recently, where he went to talk to people on an awareness drive about the Citizenship Act, which is a good thing to do. And there were some pamphlets distributed there. There was a young lady who had put up a banner on her balcony, which was against the Citizenship Act. And her landlord then asked her to leave, and that banner was taken down. Where is the tolerance for dissent there? Why would the Home Minister make a visit to Shaheen Bagh to talk to these ladies there? Because they are the people he has to convince, whose minds he has to change. And they're not protesting violently.
So can I say one more thing? I have now, over the last 3 weeks that I've been in India, I've gone to Lucknow, Bhopal, Hyderabad, Bangalore, Mumbai and Delhi, 6 cities. It is absolutely untrue to say that the protests are violent. There is a certain proportion, a very small proportion that was violent, and to begin with, some of it was violent.
This is a
civil society-led protest, not political party-led protest. It is highly decentralized. You don't know if there is one All India figure that is leading or All India
exactly
organizing.
Exactly the point I made.
It's highly decentralized, and it's basically a form of civil disobedience.
I wish to counter his assertion. He says it is not a politically motivated, sponsored show. Sir, is it not true that Shashi Tharoor came to Shaheen Bagh? Is it not true that Mr. Mani Shankar came over to Shaheen Bagh? Is it not true that what the protesters are doing is against the CAA bill, Citizens Amendment Bill, which was passed in both houses of the parliament? And I, as a true citizen of India, would like to say I love my Indian Muslim brothers and sisters. My Prime Minister got a bill passed in both houses of the parliament to give the right to the prosecuted minorities in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in Afghanistan from different segments who were prosecuted there on religious ground. Sir, will you tell me there are 57 Islamic nations around the world? Has one Islamic head of the nation has said, Indian Muslims, if you feel prosecuted, you are welcome in my country. It is the magnanimity of my Prime Minister. It is the magnanimity of my Bharatiya Janata Party. It is the magnanimity of the Delhi police which has allowed a peaceful protest at Shaheen Bagh. And you say that we are politicalizing? Sir, I wish to correct you on this.
Mr. Jolly, I have a question.
I'm countering here. I will answer all your questions.
I said
in the beginning, Nidhi, I am against this narrative of this big fight today. It is a distortion. It is a move. It is a move to mislead the Indian Muslim brothers and sisters. And I have said at the outset, we are in favor of the Indian Muslims who are being misled by the opposition parties in India.
May I please say a couple of things before I ask my question? Firstly, when you said that it is the Prime Minister's and the BJP's magnanimity that it is allowing protests, there is no magnanimity.
Please, Mr. Jolly, let me finish.
We are a democracy still. We are the world's largest democracy. People have a right to protest and people have a right to dissent. That is one. Another point that you made about persecuted minorities being given shelter under this bill.
Yes.
Not a single person who opposes the Citizenship Amendment Act is saying, do not give shelter to the persecuted minorities of these three countries.
What are they protesting against?
They are saying, give shelter to all. Mr. Jolly.
I will come. Do you know what
Mr. Jolly, let's not get a clandestine information campaign.
And who are you detecting? Only Muslims?
No. It is illegal immigrants.
And then you give them. You know, gave them citizenship and you know, through CAA and what about Muslims?
Do you know when NRC was enacted in India during Congress regime in 2015?
And then you opposed it, right? Then why are you supporting it right
during
now?
During 2008 when
Jolly,
Congress
Mr.
party
Jolly.
Was in regime.
Mr. Jolly, please, can we try to have a civil conversation?
You are eminently correct. Your arguments are wrong.
I'm not saying your arguments are wrong. You don't teach me what is right and wrong.
Mr. Jolly,
every citizen can teach you what is right and wrong. These students are teaching you.
You don't teach me.
These younger people, students are teaching
you. People of India have taught you.
Mr. Jolly, I will have to take a break. If you please, can we bring civility back to this? You don't need. Firstly,
he can join. I'm talking to you.
No, but please, can you talk to me and not shout at me? I don't know why you're shouting at me. I have a really bad cold. I'm struggling. So just please, I request you. Let's tone down the volume. I'm ready to hear
and
what you have
to
say.
And ask him not to address me. Address to
no,
you.
No, he
Nidhi,
has
please.
To address you because we are having a discussion.
That's what
discussion and a debate
ask
is talking to each
to
other.
Ask him not to intervene when I'm speaking.
It's okay, Mr.
Tell
Jolly.
Him.
Mr. Jolly, I asked you something. I said those who are opposing.
I will obey your
those
dictates.
Who are. I am only making a statement that those opposing the Citizenship Act are not saying do not give refuge to the persecuted minorities of these three countries. They are saying give refuge to all persecuted, all those who are persecuted in all countries. Well, one second, because you've excluded one religion and that's not what India is.
But
yes, they are. Yes, they are, Mr. Jolly. Muslims are persecuted in Pakistan. Please Google it. Please Google it, Mr. Jolly. But you're not answering my question. Why doesn't the Home Minister go to Shaheen Bagh? Why doesn't a minister go to Shaheen Bagh?
I will tell you. When did Shaheen Bagh say, Hame Jinnah ki azadi chahiye? Will the
who
Home
said,
Minister
God,
talk
no
with the
said,
Jinnah ki azadi
that,
wale?
Mr. Jolly,
I am going there since the day one.
No one said that.
So please come.
Jinnah wali azadi
chahiye? Ma'am.
No, that's wrong. And Safiya is
there. No, you don't take sides.
I'm not taking sides.
Are you saying wrong?
We have not reported any such statement.
Please
ask the young lady who's there.
Let her
please,
speak.
Sir, yell at me. Mr. Jolly, do not yell
you
at me.
You are taking sides, Nidhi.
I'm going to take a break if you do
yes,
not.
Yes, you take a break.
All right, I'm taking
okay,
a break.
Okay, take a break.
Please take a break. All right. So, now that we've all had a couple of minutes to calm down, I'm going to go across to Mumbai to actor Sushant Singh, who also joins us from there. And Sushant has been very vocal about his views on the Citizenship Amendment Act and one of those in the film industry who's taken the lead on it. Sushant, we're having a sort of a bigger debate, or we're trying to, about what dissent means in a democracy like ours. And there was something very interesting that Professor Ashutosh Vashni, who's here in the studio, said earlier. He believes that India has actually become freer in the last couple of months during these protests, freer than it was before to express its dissent and protest in the way that it is. It's an interesting thought, actually, that you know, we are still very much alive as a democracy, and do these protests not tell us that?
Okay, your voice was breaking. Let me see if I've understood the question correct, that whether the dissent has been suppressed over the last few years, that's what we are talking about?
Yeah, go ahead, Sushant.
Yeah, okay, I think I missed all the fun. I'm sorry, I joined late, the signal was bad here. So I think dissent, if in a democracy, as a citizen, I don't have the right to dissent, then what am I left with? Should I blindly follow the government and its every order for the rest of 5 years and show my dissent only at the time of voting? Is that what is expected of me? And a government which is hell-bent on suppressing any kind of dissent, either very violently physically or very violently virtually on social media and in media, that government, it seems, wants unchecked power to do whatever it wants. And I don't know what arguments were given in the debate, I will give you a recent example or a question, that if this government believes in dissent and is willing to entertain questions, then recently Mr. Piyush Goyal, the Honorable Minister, visited Mumbai to discuss CAA and the objections of Bollywood personalities on it, and to explain to them, whatever misunderstanding they have. Why was not a single dissenter invited to that meeting, including me? And,
exactly.
And we all know who are the dissenters.
I think that's the point that I was trying to make before the break as well, that the government is doing this outreach essentially with like-minded people, not with the people who do disagree with them, Sushant. And what you're saying is that is what is needed. And I want to take that to Sargam, who's here in the studio with us. Just on that question about the need to reach out to those that do not agree, and also the fact that, is there something more with these the student protests? Because we've seen over the years there has been some kind of discomfort on various campuses for various reasons, but it's manifested itself in this unique way in the last month or so. What are students like you trying to actually say and tell us?
I mean, it just seems that, like, for many years that the first attack was against university spaces, and we've been watching with concern for many, like, for years now, for 3 years at least, that the first attack was done again, and the turf war was declared against university campuses. So we not only are we fighting issues within the universities, that of privatization, that of police brutality, that of not having, I mean, why are students labeled anti-national and other meaningless words? So that you can dehumanize us and later not take our opinion seriously, right? So that is what we are trying to say, that students are future stakeholders, and they're trying to say something. They're trying to show solidarity with the anti-CEA movement. And why shouldn't that be taken seriously? It's as simple as that. That we have studied these things. I can tell you point by point how CEA is anti-constitutional. Should we not stand for our constitution according to our understanding? What is wrong in that? It's just as simple as that.
Do you want to answer that?
I think I agree with Sargam, but I think the attack on university spaces is not 5 years back. It did not start 5 years back. It started way back when the academia was captured by a certain group of people. It started way back when my freedom of thought, the freedom of thought of this young generation, was taken back, because what we feel as dissent today is coming from the freedom of thought which was captivated way back. I think today, if university campuses students are coming out and saying, Bharat tere tukde honge, I'm sorry, Sargam, they would be labeled everything. Anti-nationalism is a small thing, but they would be labeled everything. Meaningless words would also be given. If you go down to academic blocks, you capture those blocks, you go down to VC's office, you vandalize that office, you run in, onto a stairs, you capture a dean of students' welfare for 40 hours in a room without a washroom. She's a woman. And you ask her to resign, you go down to a warden's house, you capture the kids of a warden, make them forcibly resign. And that's all
you're
happening
saying
in JNU.
There is intimidation.
And yeah, no, that's all happening in JNU. It's a series of violence. It's a thought of violence which comes forward. And I think, I don't know how much time is left in this show, but you explained to me today, point by point, how CAA is unconstitutional. We, the safeguard of this constitution is the Supreme Court. But the liberals of this country did not even wait for the verdict of the Supreme Court. While the Supreme Court allowed it, or they gave a later date, we are not waiting for the Supreme Court to comment upon anything. We have declared it unconstitutional.
I'll tell you how it's unconstitutional.
We can have a dissent, but we cannot term it as unconstitutional.
Well, I'm not saying that, but Professor Vashni will explain to you why people have a problem with it.
Well, you see, the Parliament making laws is not equal to making a constitution.
Very true, sir.
So a constitution is a body of enduring principles turned into supreme law.
Very true, sir.
Parliamentary law can always be examined for its constitutional validity, yes. And some in the past have been struck down.
Yes.
But of course she is not, she as a student of Delhi School or someone participating at Shaheen Bagh or Ashutosh Vashne, a professor, cannot say for sure that a particular law passed by Parliament is unconstitutional. Only the Supreme Court can say that.
Very true.
However, we can express the view that it's unconstitutional. It's for the Supreme Court to decide. It's for the Supreme Court to decide. I think our students are free to say that this sounds unconstitutional, it is unconstitutional. Yogendra Yadav is free to say that. But the only institution of the country which can give the statement unconstitutional force of law is the Supreme Court.
So you
Court.
Don't Correct. Realize when you say
Correct.
So, because
Absolutely
the people
so.
Protesting down on roads today are the learned people. It's not the illiterate who's protesting down. And if the learned people cannot understand an act passed, constitutionally passed by the constitutionally elected government, and then just go down and spread misinformation about the act, you do not realize what you do to this country.
No.
So the fire that you are spreading, you are not realizing how far it is going. The divide that is creating into campuses, the divide it is creating into the society,
Siddharth,
you do not realize the impact of it.
My dear sir.
And
civil disobedience is legal.
Civil disobedience is legal. Violent disobedience is not legal.
Sir, civil disobedience is legal.
So we can have people, we can have authors coming down to universities and saying when the government would come down to you for census and NPR, give you wrong information. Is that right for the country, sir?
Incidentally, that's civil disobedience.
So
that's
the country in which you are teaching. So the country in which you are teaching, do people do this there?
No, I'm an Indian citizen, actually. I'm teaching people do that all the time. 1960s, student movement in America was about this.
See, it is
it
not
was
even,
about
it
giving
is,
wrong information about,
no, so it is
about not,
even not the
participating
fact.
In the
not even
of the country.
Fact.
The government,
it is just
the government
it is
what,
on simple
sir? Facts. What is the government doing?
It is on simply what the Home Minister has said, that one can be scared of the CAA. That the day that the CA was being passed, he said NRC will come, and we are scared of the NRC and the CA in conjugation.
Madam,
and then
a student in Delhi.
Then
University.
The Prime Minister goes on and
NRC is not a taboo.
May I
it
complete my point?
It has been discussed in the country for
may
so
I complete
long.
My point?
Congress
of
governments
course.
Have brought it. We have had detention centers. We have had MHA notifications.
So why did
the
Prime Minister say that there are no detention centers? Shouldn't we be
madam,
concerned if the Prime Minister,
definitely,
it,
madam,
it turns
but,
out,
but
is clearly
not,
misleading the people?
Who are
I
we?
As a
we are students,
these,
right? We are
I
students,
as a student,
right?
I as a student
Do we
saying
not
something.
Understand things?
I as a student expressing my opinion versus the Prime Minister of the country refusing to abate the fears of an entire community.
The those Prime Minister
two,
came forward and said, no NRC, nothing doing, it's just CAA. Then why is the protest?
You just said there is a detention center.
I'm saying NRC is not a taboo because as a student we have to understand things in a larger
but
picture.
I'm
governments
I'm
have had NRCs before. I'm not saying
the
for this
NRC,
government. We don't.
One second. The NRC was an exercise firstly that was unique to Assam. Hmm. It was ordered by the Supreme Court. Yes, its history goes back to the Congress. That's number
yes.
one. It was because Assam is a border state with Bangladesh and therefore it has a unique historical context. That is the first thing. Secondly, again I repeat the point that the CAA, people have two problems. I'll explain it to you.
Hmm.
One is that the CAA by itself actually gives citizenship to people in this country on the basis of religion for the very first time. And therefore, it excludes an entire religion for the very first time. That is something that many believe goes against our own constitution and our secular principles. But when you combine this, so no one is saying don't give refuge to persecuted minorities from these countries. What people are saying is open your hearts then and give all persecuted people refuge from these countries, including Muslims. That's the first thing. One second. Second is, when it is seen in conjunction with the NRC, where senior ministers, including the Home Minister, repeatedly said, there is a chronology. Pehle CAA, uske baad nationwide NRC. And later when the Prime Minister spoke, Siddharth, he, you know, said that there is no discussion on it. The Home Ministers also said, for now, it's not coming. So that is why people are scared. You know, there are people, regardless of their religion today, Siddharth, who do not have birth certificates, who do not have documents to prove where they were born. So this is something that could potentially affect millions of people in this country, irrespective of their religion. It's not a Hindu-Muslim issue, actually.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm trying to calmly explain to you why people are scared. Now, if just somebody 60 could...
seconds.
If I'm saying, one second. Yeah. If somebody could just go and say, you know, try to dispute these fears calmly to those people who are protesting, rather than paint everybody as urban Naxals and anti-nationals, then I think we'll go somewhere. And Sushant Singh wants to come in on that point.
Seconds because you made a point. Yeah. I have to. Yeah.
Sure.
So Nidhi, what has to be understood is that when India got independence, when the partition happened, we had two.
Afghanistan was not part of India.
Yeah, I'll come to that.
I know the history.
I'm making a point. Give me 60 uninterrupted seconds. We had two commitments. One commitment was for the minorities who stayed back here. One commitment was for the people who went to the other side. We have fulfilled the commitment to the minorities staying back here. Now, if the government plans to fulfill the commitment to the minorities who went down there, it's no wrong. I will tell you, there was a village called Chatgaon. When the partition happened, you drew a line on the map on ground. That village had 98.5% of Hindus and Bauds. They were the leaders who were struggling for the Indian independence. Suddenly you declare them to be part of an Islamic nation. Not their fault. Today, the Hindu population there is below 40%. If they have come down in here, and if we give citizenship to them, it's no wrong. When you ask me, when you say, give it to everybody, we already give it to everybody. 566 of Muslims even got the citizenship last year.
So then why bring a separate law for it?
Separate law is because we have to address a section. Because those people have been living in this country for a lot of years, even for more than years, I have been here. I met a family who's in India for 40 years. I am 24.
That doesn't explain
but then
why
we have a refugee policy.
No, yes, and everybody is getting into
every
that.
Every country in the world.
We are making a law for people who have been specifically.
I just want to get Sushant Singh in. Sushant, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, from dissent, we have come to CAA. First of all, I've read CAA. I've read the Citizenship Act also. There's a big difference between refugees and illegal immigrants. CAA 2019 deals with illegal immigrants, not refugees. So please do not mislead. Secondly, about dissent. I would like to ask, I just heard that, you know, protesters are not respecting the Supreme Court. They're not waiting for the Supreme Court's judgment for the hearing. I would like to ask a question to all the political parties. What examples have you set in front of us how to protest? And I would like to ask BJP also, did you respect the Supreme Court? Did you wait for Supreme Court's decision on Ram Mandir? Or Babri demolition was a natural calamity. What happened there?
Or Sabarimala. Protests broke out over that right after
that
the
was wrong.
And now you are expecting doing students wrong. And everyone
that
else true. To respect
the
Supreme
So if you say that was wrong, you're doing wrong now. So you'll do wrong because you'll not wait for anything. And nobody's teaching you how to protest, sir. Go for protests on 365
Why?
Days a year. What I'm trying to point
Why?
Out is the real motive behind your protest. Because why
do you think that there's a motive behind his protest? I want to understand why you think that everyone who protests
has a motive. My motive is to reclaim.
Go ahead, Sushant.
to reclaim my personal space to dissent, which has been suppressed systematically over the last 6 years. Systematically. Anybody who wants to protest or dissent, they are being told that you are anti-national, go to Pakistan, you are a sectard, you are librandu, you are libtard, you are anti-national, etc., etc., etc.
Sir, please comment on the Mumbai professor also.
We are tired. We are tired of being suppressed.
Once, sir, please. It is our right to dissent. You are sitting in Mumbai. And we will comment on the Mumbai professor who was sent to forcibly. Would you say against that? Or doesn't fall in your category?
Your whole argument is called whataboutry. When we say one thing, you will say whataboutry.
I'm asking for one comment. One comment on the Mumbai professor was sent to me.
Yeah, it was wrong. Everyone says
I'm asking for Sushant. You're sitting down in Mumbai, Sushant, you would say all the things but not comment over that. So the dissent is only against one government you didn't vote for.
Sent on leave for saying something against Rahul Gandhi, which is completely...
I can't hear you properly.
He's talking about a professor sent on leave because he said something about Rahul Gandhi, which is completely undemocratic. What would you say on that? That's true, right? Even in Maharashtra,
which
what is
absolutely wrong.
Yeah,
I criticize that and condemn that absolutely.
Yeah, so nobody...
It should not be done.
Why don't you... Why
nobody should be arrested for a Facebook post. Nobody should be arrested for a comment or sent on leave. Or arrested for on the charges of sedition. Nobody should be.
Thank you, sir. I welcome it. I think you have the same views for the Ratlam principle as well.
Before Mr. Johnny comes in, fact, Professor Vashni, on this issue of dissent, coming back to the original idea of this show, no government actually has had a great track record. I mean, the Congress misused the sedition law. They put a cartoonist in jail because they didn't like what he was drawing. We've seen what has happened in Maharashtra. So therefore, when it comes to the state sort of being insecure and nervous about dissent, it's something that seems to be inherent in all governments.
Right. So within a few months after the adoption of India's constitution, the First Amendment was proposed and passed. The First Amendment actually puts four restrictions on freedom of expression, freedom of movement. And so that gives the legal foundation for putting restrictions on these freedoms, without which, obviously, democracies are imperfect. Now, the question is, how do different governments interpret the First Amendment? What do you call, which speech do you call seditious, which speech do you call anti-national, which speech do you want to punish?
I think
that's wrong.
Banduk ke dam pe lenge Kashmir
se aa jayega. And saying that protesters should be shot like dogs.
Question about how individuals, while expressing themselves, how their speech is to be judged. There is the other question, which is about whether communities can be maligned and communities can be targeted. That is different from individual targeting. So the idea that minorities got automatically, that Muslims got excluded from this list, and if they have been here illegally, they cannot be citizens. So but if Hindus have been here illegally, they can be citizens.
Against the nation, what community is being targeted?
Safia. I'm saving your intimation.
That the Muslims are being excluded. I take objection to that.
I do not.
This whole frustration. This whole frustration is all about the amicable settlement of the Ram Janmabhoomi through the Supreme Court of India. This is all about the three talaq issue getting resolved from the parliament. This is all about the frustration of Narendra Modi getting a second tenure in the parliament.
This is all about politicalization at the behest of the communists who were rejected by the people of India and the Congress Party, who are going over instigating the nationalist Muslims who are very much a
this
part of India.
This is not a Hindu-Muslim issue. I want to disabuse you of that.
I didn't see Congress politicians in
Congress
in
Bombay.
I didn't see Congress politicians.
There was an opposition, Mr. Jolly.
What is happening in Jamia? Is all Nidhi
Mr. Jolly,
those politicians
very, very respectfully,
who want to politicalize this issue?
One second.
You are
giving the opposition so much credit. The opposition is in complete disarray. There was an opposition meeting. One second. There was an opposition meeting the Congress called the other day. There were parties that stayed away from that meeting. They can't even do a proper meeting. And you think they're going to instigate everybody in the entire country?
So
Delhi
now, now you realize why the students are being used as a face?
क्यों नहीं गए
प्रोटेस्ट में गए होंगे बिल्कुल गए होंगे
वो गए होंगे
ही इज पार्ट ऑफ दिस नेशन नाउ ही कैन गो वेयर एवर ही वांट्स
टू आई गए नहीं आई
कैन स्पीक कैन शी
प्लीज हमें तो मैं तो उनसे पूछ
नो नो आई नो
निधि मुझे पूछने तो दो ना प्लीज
पूछ लिया यार
बीच में डायरेक्ट करने लग पड़ती है प्लीज आपने मुझे बिग फाइट में बुलाया है बोलने के लिए बुलाया है ब्रेक करने के लिए तो नहीं बुलाया ना तुमने शशि थरूर आए ना शाहीन बाग में
मिस्टर जॉली स्टॉप बीइंग सो सो लेट अस स्पीक इफ शशि जॉली लेट अस
स्पीक
इफ अमर जॉली I totally invite
Mr. Jolly, will you let us speak? Can you please have the courtesy
to let us speak? Need any invitation to come to a protest. I invite you to come to the protest if you need any invitation for that.
Forum ke upar,
let us speak.
Virodhi log aayenge to hum nahi aayenge.
No, koi Bharat Virodhi nahi hai.
Aap apna protest
jari rakhiye. Aap aaiye if you are scared. If you are scared of your security and all that, I am sure you women of Shaheen Bagh will
take it. Why aren't you letting her speak? Why aren't you? Are you scared of her?
We allow
are you
everyone.
It's okay, ma'am. I can raise my voice louder than him.
Mr. Jolly,
I can raise my voice louder than him. I invite him to Shaheen Bagh. Please come to Shaheen Bagh. We will ensure your security. You may consider this attack on your masculinity. I may say because you don't respect women.
Shanti Priya,
you don't respect women. You are not respecting women from Shaheen Bagh. You are calling them bikau. Do you think I'm bikau? If I'm painting on street, if I'm carrying a poster that I don't support CAA. Then you think I'm bikau? Then why? How can you say that these people are bikau? You should come to the protest rather than saying people that they are bikau and stuff like that.
हमने कभी नहीं कहा मेरी बहन.
Yesterday only, sir. I saw your show. Yesterday only I saw your show.
जो issues आपके NDTV ने दिखाए हैं, उनकी जांच होनी चाहिए. But I will only sum up. खूब बहती है अमन की गंगा, मोदी राज में बहने दो, मत फैलाओ देश में दंगा, सबको अमन से रहने दो.
मोदी राज कहाँ से आया सर?
दंगा कहाँ हो रहा है?
और किसका राज है? डिक्टेटरशिप नहीं है.
मोदी राज कहाँ से आया? मोदी राज नहीं है तो और क्या राज है? ये भाजपा साहब का राज है.
पब्लिक नेशन है हमारा राज है, पब्लिक का राज है. मोदी राज नहीं है.
मोदी राज है इसलिए अमन रहने दो, देश के अंदर दंगा मत फैलाओ.
According to the political science category, the category that we can draw from the domain of knowledge is very clear. This is not danga. I have studied, I have a book on dangas, on riots, which I studied riots for 10 years. This is civil disobedience, let's be clear.
Sir, who wrote
that
those
civil
books?
Disobedience and is not equal to danga. This is civil disobedience. Non-violence. This is primarily...
Mr. Vajjane.
What is the reference then?
Who wrote it? Come on.
Who's reading?
What are you talking?
Who's teaching me what?
You're
saying burning down police posts. Burning down police posts is not a riot.
For 10 years.
People coming out with bombs is not a riot.
One second. Again, this is a misnomer. I think it's been said right at the beginning. Yes, in the beginning, there were some protests that turned violent, but not all of them have been violent.
I do agree.
Yeah, so there have been plenty of ordinary folks who have come out and to suggest that all of them have been brainwashed or they are anti-national.
Definitely not.
Because they disagree with the government on something. is wrong, Mr. Definitely Jolly, because not. I don't think
I'm expecting
this is not
sir,
your magnanimity.
What I'm expecting from sir,
they never disowned those rumor mongers or those slogans shouting against the country.
Who is spreading the rumors?
हमने नहीं भेड़ाए जिन्होंने वहां से लगाए उन्होंने उनको सुना उन्होंने लगाया मनीष शंकर जी आए जिन्होंने बोला
सर आप भी आइए ना आप भी
कैसे
आएंगे
भारत के खिलाफ नारे लगाने वालों के हम नहीं आएंगे बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद बहुत बड़ा धन्यवाद
माइक्स इन दिल्ली सुशांत सिंह आई एम गिविंग यू द लास्ट वर्ड
Yes, first of all, abhi kisi ne kaha opposition is doing something, this and that. Sir, I am neither a communist nor a Congress member or supporter. And frankly, if there was any credible opposition left in this country, we wouldn't have had to come out on the streets. So please do not insult our intelligence. Okay, we are doing it on our own. Secondly, everybody keeps talking about violent protests by the protesters, violence by the protesters. What is stopping the administration and the government to show us the proof of that violence? We have seen violence by the police. There are plenty of videos. We have seen police shutting down street lights. We have seen police breaking CCTV cameras. We have seen videos and proofs of police brutality. Police standing by quietly in UP when Sadaf Jafar was recording Facebook live stream. Police was watching when some people were burning public property and she was asking police people as to why you're not stopping them and she was arrested instead. So please do not give us the narrative of violent protests unless you have a proof.
Sir, 11 of our ABC Kolkata's got beaten up, sir. What are you saying about violence?
Sir, descent to
end the show at Mumbai. You want to end the show at propaganda? Go ahead, sir.
Having any dialogue on anything that has certainly evaporated on this show. I think some of us tried. But the rest of us have not succeeded. Thank you very much. I'm so glad it's Friday. Good night.